History in the making. It's a common description of Barack Obama's bid to become the first African American to win a nomination for the presidency. It's a bid made possible by other history-making men and women, ones who first proclaimed messages of change and hope during the 60s, when Obama was born. That era of the civil rights movement was chronicled in the Emmy Award-winning documentary series Eyes on the Prize 2. Now, it hasn't aired in almost 20 years, but now the series is being rebroadcast this month on PBS in honor of Black History Month. You know, it really provides a great context for the discussion about race and voter turnout that's, bantered about on talk radio and cable TV. Hear from the film a recounting of the moments that set the political stage of today, like this one from a 1965 voter registration drive.
Stopping in towns along the way to register new voters.
How long have you waited to register?
Me?
How many years?
Oh, long time. I'm 106 years old, 9 months.
Although 80% of the population was black, there were no black elected officials.
He was 106 years old, that gentleman. One of the people interviewed in the Eyes on the Prize documentary is Eleanor Holmes Norton. She was active in the civil rights initiatives like that one, a coordinator of that very famous march in Washington in 1963. Today, she's the congressional representative for the District of Columbia and a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. Congressman, thanks for being with us to get a little then and now perspective on this African-American political experience. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, happy to be with you.
Now, when you hear discussions about black voter turnout in this current election season, what historical information do you think should be mixed into the conversation? What piece of history do you think people need to keep in mind?
Well, I think they need that to keep the sweep of history in mind. What is it? Barely 40 years ago, we were still talking about trying to get the right to vote in the South. That's when, as a law student, I went to Mississippi. And the first couple of days saw history making in the making in many ways, and that's just in a couple of days. But when you've lived through various stages of history, been a kid in the civil rights movement, then lived through another stage where I chaired the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission mm-hmm. that I was in the streets trying to get because there was no such commission, and finally gone on to Congress, you feel that you lived through several stages in history. And when you see that there's now an African-American who's close to, perhaps could be the nominee, you see that history may have even skipped over a phase, because I'm not sure anyone expected that.
It's an interesting point you bring up, because politicians like Barack Obama and Newark Mayor Cory Booker and Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, a lot of people say they're examples of politicians running in a post-civil rights era. And part of the change argument is that there should be a shift in how African-American candidates run for office and appeal to the electorate, a change that maybe some rooted in the traditions of the 60s may not embrace or may embrace. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on how post-civil rights minority candidates should approach politics?
Well, they should approach politics as beneficiaries of the civil mm-hmm. rights movement, not as those who live the civil rights movement. I mean, I was a kid in the civil rights movement. We were just trying to get black people to be able to vote. Therefore, you had to raise consciousness among black people. You had to say in Mississippi, you are black, you've got to remember what your rights are. If you're trying to run for statewide office in Mississippi, you are trying to say something much broader that could never have been said than you're trying to say, I should represent all the people. You don't want to relive each moment in time. You want to take advantage of what those before you did and build on it. The notion that we could have governors, that we could indeed have someone who would be considered a person who could represent all the people, means that we in the civil rights movement expect you, without losing touch with your roots, and I think the those whom you have named have certainly not done that, without losing touch with your roots, to in fact build on what we did, not try to redo it, or in fact become romanticists who are involved in the last moment in time. Let's take us to a new moment in time. That's what I think our governors, our statewide officers, and now Barack Obama are doing.
You mentioned about your time on the ground working as a civil rights worker. Alabama and Georgia, obviously central battlegrounds in the civil rights movement. Today, they're states that Barack Obama decisively won in the primaries, both black and white support. Tomorrow's Louisiana's primary, a state the population's a third black. What did you think when you heard that Obama had won in Alabama and Georgia, and what do you anticipate tomorrow?
Well, this is a great irony. The great strength of the African American community continues to be in the South, and that's where we had the least rights, where our rights were extinguished. The notion of turning history on its head, so that in those states you need the black vote, at least if you're a Democrat, in order to prevail. I think says everything about the success of the civil rights movement and about the post-civil rights era. Barack doesn't have to go down there and say what I said when I went to Greenwood, Mississippi. He doesn't need to mention the word black. He epitomizes to every black person who sees him that history. He needs to be an authentic man and an authentic black and speak in tones that both blacks and whites can hear in their own way. And remember, they hear different things from it.
Shirley, Congresswoman, can we keep you for about 3 or 4 minutes? I have a couple more questions I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
All right, Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton joining us. Please stay with us here on NPR and the Bryant Park Project. We're back in 60 seconds. And welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Rachel Martin in studio with me. I'm Allison Stewart, and we're continuing our conversation with Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. She is featured in the Emmy Award-winning documentary Eyes on the Prize 2, which is replaying on PBS this month in honor of Black History Month. Let's play a quick soundbite from the documentary. This one is about voter turnout in rural Alabama during the 1966 state primaries.
The numbers of people that turned out to that election on that day and voted for that candidate and felt that they had done something for themselves to start making changes, the kind of changes they wanted to see happen in the system.
Congressman, that was just after the Voting Rights Act was signed in 65 by President Johnson, and African Americans were really motivated to use their new rights to effect change. Do you believe that desire for change is driving black voters to the polls today?
I think the desire for change is universal in this country, but for African Americans, there's a very special reason. First of all, when they see an African American, that is very special motivation, because most of them have lived through at least some phase of the civil rights movement or the post-civil rights movement. But then there's a great need for change in the country that black people simply share with other people. If you try to think of so-called black issues, when I was a kid in the civil rights movement, I could rattle them off in a moment. Today, almost every so-called black issue will be an issue of the country, and we will simply become the harbingers of those who perhaps need it most, such as health care. I mean, it's very hard to put your finger on an issue of the kind I could when I was in the civil rights movement that we needed for blacks, you know, fair housing, voting rights, equal employment opportunity. All of those remain important. But the issues have been universalized, and we become in greater need, perhaps, because black Americans, by virtue of having been slaves, by virtue of having experienced discrimination, frankly, being free only since the Civil Rights Movement. And when you think about it, when most blacks, certainly where bulk of the population was in the South, most blacks couldn't vote. You have to count day one. Freedom one is not the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, which didn't change much, frankly, but the signing of the Voting Rights Act in 1965.
You know, I think about that. My parents had to go to segregated schools in D.C.
And so did I. I mean, the schools were integrated.
They went to Dunbar. You went to Dunbar, right?
I went to Dunbar, yeah. And I remember on May 17, 1954, sitting in Dunbar High School and the principal saying, "I want to announce that the Supreme Court has just declared schools of the kind where you are sitting to be unconstitutional." If you remember that, and there you sit in Congress from the District of Columbia, you see the sweep of history before your very, very eyes and in your very life.
Well, there you are sitting in Congress right now as a member of the Black Congressional Black Caucus, let me say this right. I know it's split over which candidate to support in this current election, and so far you haven't endorsed either Democratic candidate. Am I correct in that?
Oh, then you are correct in that.
Okay. Do you plan to do so before the primary in your district on Tuesday?
I don't, but I should explain that. Because I represent the district, because it is unique in its relationship with the president and the federal government, I've never endorsed, not when Bill Clinton, not when John Kerry, but let me tell you, this time, when both of the leading candidates are very good friends of mine, and when I look in the mirror and I see a black woman, and I am a feminist and a civil rights activist, I said, heavens, how did everything I have fought for all my life happen in one election? I see no reason to choose except in the voting booth.
Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, thank you so much for making time for us today.
My pleasure.